but it's also a little tricky. I might start by just saying that I could think of all my blessings. I might think of, you know, the privileges of having a family and health and work, a home, so many good experiences in life. I could just start making the list go on. But it gets a little bit to be just a list, a lot of information. And there's more blessings than we could count. And we often hear that phrase, count your blessings. And I kind of wonder why sometimes. How does that help? So if I counted all my blessings like we were sharing today, it's quite a bit. And it's a joy to actually think about them, to think about, you know, being able to do things, being able to fix things, being able to go to work and be able to go play with friends and do that. It's quite a joy to be having all those things. But that kind of thankfulness is like a list of things. It's kind of like when my grandchildren come to our house this time of year, they pull up the Sunday newspaper and they start to circle everything in the little catalog that they want for Christmas. And we become thankful for all the things that we want or could have. We begin to be thankful for that kind of a thing. And it's kind of a fine line between the two of being thankful for what we have and being thankful for what we hope we could have and looking forward to it with a sense of joy. Where does real gratitude come from? And once we have real gratitude, where does it lead us? We remember on Thanksgiving Day tomorrow and tonight, we remember those who don't actually have a home. We remember those who lost their life savings and lost their equity in losing their home. We remember those people. We remember people who only live in a very small apartment and maybe very dilapidated with maybe just a few items. We remember them. We remember the person who maybe has just that little rusty car, very undependable, but it takes every little extra penny in their paycheck to keep that car going. We remember those who have no family, who are truly alone. We remember those who have lost a family member. We remember children who have no parents. We remember children who are not safe tonight, but are at risk. We remember those whose lives are filled with rage, anger, lives filled with fear. We remember those who cannot see with their eyes, who cannot hear the words that we're hearing now. They have no hearing. We remember those who cannot walk, those who are terminally ill. We remember those who live in fear of their neighbors, that to actually live in their own home is a matter of constant fear because a bullet may come through their wall or their window. Someone may enter their home. We really get to know what gratitude is about when we walk hand in hand and shoulder with those people who sometimes we call the less fortunate. But when we really walk with them and suffer with them, we begin to taste gratitude in our hearts and in our lives, in our bodies. That's why kids go on mission trips, to experience what real gratitude is about. And that's by walking with someone who has less. We know what gratitude is when we choose to love and be with those in need. We know what gratitude is when we see people who are worse off than us, who are happier, more content, kinder, more generous, and more thankful than we are. Then we have a little more idea about what gratitude is. In the movie The Blind Side, how many of you guys know the movie Blind Side, right? Okay, movie Blind Side, there's two parents, mom and dad, and two children, daughter and son, and they are fortunate to be owners of, I think it's Taco John. They maybe have 20 or 30 Taco John stores, restaurants, drive-thrus, whatever, and they're very well off and healthy, but they're also very interesting people. They get to know a young black homeless teenager, Michael. And they invite Michael into their home. And as Michael is living that first couple days in their home, after it's going to become a more permanent relationship that he's going to actually live with them in their house, is that the mother takes Michael and says, "This room is yours. This is now your bedroom." And Michael says, "Thank you. I've never had one before." And she says, "Do you mean you never had your own bedroom before?" He says, "No, I never had my own bed before." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being 16 or 17 years of age and never having your own bed? We know Michael is grateful because for a long time, he has waited for his own bed and a family. And so we know that there's something different about his life. He has become a grateful person, and it's shaped his character because now he has waited long and he has a blessing. Today we hear so much about conflict and division and being divided as people. Name-calling, accusations, fears, cries for help, all these things. When we are a grateful people, when we've been transformed into a grateful person, it's time we really allow our gratitude to flow into what our lives are about being a blessing to others. Not on a bit-by-bit piece, but in the grandness of our lives, to be on a big scale, to be a blessing to others. If we are in Christ, we have made a commitment to do everything for Him. If we are in Christ, we have made a commitment in our lives to do everything that is good and a blessing to others. In Romans, Paul says it simply this way: do not overcome evil with evil. Never. I wish I could say that was true in my life, but sometimes when I face evil, I want to butt right against it. But that is not the way of Christ. We are called to be a blessing to others. Insisting on our own way in any matter will never bring unity. It'll never be a step that shows that we are grateful and trust God, but it shows that we are ungrateful and want our way. Insisting on our own way in anything is never a blessing. That's a huge thing to take into our hearts and our lives to think about. Insisting on my own way is not a blessing. A real life of gratitude leads to a path of being good and doing good. Jesus says it this way: don't store up treasures on earth. Don't hoard things. Don't take things for yourself, but store up treasure in heaven. Where your heart is, there will be your treasure also. So what does it mean to be going from being thankful to being grateful? It really means this. You go from things to people. You go from busyness to a time of being with others rather than being busy. Paul says it this way: be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Let nothing come between you and another. Overcome it with love. Don't let anything come between. No matter how evil they are, no matter how unsettling and how much chaos they offer into your life, do not be overcome by it, but be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Always keep your spiritual fervor. Keep your zeal. Never lack in zeal. And this is where I think it gets a little hard for us as Christians, is that we waver. Sometimes we have zeal for what the Lord would have us do, and other times we say, wait a minute. I have hunger, I have wants, I have desires. I want to promote myself in some way. I want to honor myself more than honoring someone else. And so we waver, we go back and forth between it. What does Jesus say? Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Do something that lasts, something that is embraced. It's love. Let love really be your motive in life. Paul says, be joyful even when times are sad. Be patient even when troubles keep coming and coming and coming. There is a day when they end. It is a testing of our hearts to be patient in troubled times. Be devoted to the work of prayer. Prayer is work. That's all there is to it. But to bring anything before God allows God to put that in our hearts. We change in prayer, not God. So put everything in prayer, Paul says. Paul says, share with God's people in need. Wow. Everywhere I go, I see people being more and more independent, less able to receive love, less able to realize that people have love to give. I say it's one of the greatest needs we have. Everywhere, people are doing their own things, you know. I remember a couple Thanksgivings ago, my mom said, maybe it was Easter, everyone put the cell phones away. She meant it. She laid down the law. 14 cell phones, they're all put away, you know. Share with people in their need. People need to be loved and need to know that you have love to share with them. What does it mean to step into this life of sharing and blessing? It means we're consistent with it. We pursue it. We have zeal about it. We don't relent in it. In closing, I'd just like to share a little story about a church in Des Moines, a Lutheran church. Mike Householder's pastor down in Des Moines, 8,000 members. And because of some of their positions on a couple social issues, there was a great group of protesters, about 250 protesters, announced that they were coming to Des Moines and with their signs and everything else to protest their church, to block people from coming in and to dissuade people from going to their church anymore. So they really came to raise a ruckus. And they were told about it and they were threatened about it in pretty strong terms, letters, phone calls, emails, every way they could. They were hitting different members of the church, not just the office staff people or pastors, but they were hitting the church hard. And so the church got together and said, wow, this is a great opportunity. This is great. This is fantastic. And so for worship that Sunday, they said, we'll have regular worship and we'll invite people in, but we'll all do it together in one service instead of like five services. And then when we're done, we're going to come out and we're going to bring out tables. And they set up long tables outside in the yard right in front of the protesters and wherever they could, right there. And they covered them with cloth and they brought out their home silver. They brought out their home china. They brought out their best home cooking. They served with white gloves. And they invited the protesters to come down, sit down, and eat. And guess what happened? They wouldn't. They wouldn't eat for about 2 minutes. And then a couple sat down, and they were served by the church. And then everyone was eating together. And pretty soon, almost all the protesters sat down and ate together. And then they got up and left. But some of them came back to church the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next one. Nothing but love, nothing but a blessing for those people who were so upset. And so when we think about what it means to be grateful, it means there's something in us that wants to pass that on. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that with all the blessings we have, that we would be transformed into being a grateful person, not just thankful. In your name we pray. Amen.